episode 6 of the Crossover Podcast, your 975th stop for all superhero movie news. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Matt. This week on the Crossover Podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about Marvel villains, and then a lot of news coming out of New York Comic Con, some Marvel movie announcements, and finally we're going to end up with a discussion on Civil War.
You can reach us at thecrossoverpodcast@gmail.com, or you can head over to our Facebook and YouTube pages and like and subscribe there. Just search for The Crossover Podcast. And when you see the picture of Batman and Wolverine Funko Pops, you know you're in the right place.
Right.
So New York Comic Con was this past weekend, as usual. Should have gone.
Right.
There was a lot of TV news. Not a lot of movie stuff.
No.
Which was kind of the deal at San Diego Comic Con. The movies are kind of like taking a break a little bit.
Yeah, they're not as high profile of these things anymore.
For this year at least.
Yeah, this year. But New York Comic Con seems to be like the, you know, TV seems to be the thing that thrives there. They don't tend to take a lot of movie stuff there. Mm-hmm. At least Marvel doesn't. But last year, I think
They're snobs.
I think last year they had like the Daredevil stuff was there. This year, more Daredevil. They unveiled Jessica Jones to the public for the first time.
That's right. Kristen Ritter got naked in front of everybody.
Right in front of everybody.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's newsworthy. And then Luke Cage stuff. But as we'll get to in a little bit, nothing about Iron Fist.
Iron Fist isn't going to come out until 2017 at the earliest, probably, so yeah. I'm not surprised about that.
No, I'm not entirely worried, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. DC was fairly quiet at New York Comic Con this year, everybody knows Batman vs. Superman is coming out next year. We're all sort of waiting on the next trailer.
They already had their big thing at San Diego Comic Con anyway, so.
Yeah. They had a small viral campaign going on, centered around LexCorp.
Yeah.
Which you've seen, I have not.
I didn't watch the video, it's just, I know of it, and it's just, it's whatever.
It's like a fake Forbes article.
There's a fake Forbes article that they interview Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, and it doesn't really reveal anything about the plot or anything like that, or it's just, you know, it's just another cog in their marketing scheme, because they've been making this movie since 2010, or whatever it's been. I mean, you know, so.
Well, ever since Man of Steel came out, it's pretty much been this movie. Which, Man of Steel came out 2013?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had to move back the shooting and all this stuff. And
Then the release date.
Yeah, they had to move the release date around because it's so crowded with all the other superhero movies coming out. So they've had a lot of time on their hands, basically, to come up with different stuff. And I'm sure the next trailer will probably be out. When does the movie come out? March? Probably this month, probably. Probably in October at some point.
Maybe. There's...
I'm surprised they didn't put anything out with Pan. That piece of shit. Don't go see Pan, folks, if you have kids. And just watch Harry Potter. It's the same goddamn thing. Yeah, but that's a Warner Brothers movie. And apparently, and obviously that movie needed help because they already moved it from the summer to the fall. So I'm actually surprised they didn't have anything. But then again, it's a different audience. Kids aren't going to go see. I mean, older kids will go see Batman and Superman. But
even with the sensuality.
Whatever. That's so stupid. It's like the thing that annoys me these days about like all the internet and stuff like that is just like all the non-stories that come out. You know, it's just like, you know, like that story. Like, it's PG-13 for sensuality. Who cares? It's like, who cares? It's like, whatever. Yeah. It's a non-story.
Yeah, I mean, who cares if Batman and Superman make out?
They don't.
It's not a big deal. It's not
it's
a big
be
deal.
Batman banging Wonder Woman.
Whatever.
Just like the Justice League cartoon
she
wanted.
She will be banging him, sir.
Just like the Justice League cartoon wanted.
Right. And he will also be singing in a nightclub.
Yes, right.
All right. That's an unconfirmed rumor, but I think we should spread it. Speaking of the Justice League, we could be having one of my favorite cartoons of all time making a comeback.
Well, maybe. It won't be the same cast.
No.
They did a reunion at the Comic-Con, though. They had a Justice League reunion with all the casts. Kevin Conroy was there, and I forget the guy who played Superman.
It wasn't Daly, was it?
No, Tim Daly only was Superman for the Superman TV show. And then he played him, I think, in some other stuff. Maybe a couple of movies they did or something like that.
Was he in, oh God, the Grant Morrison, All-Star Superman?
Perhaps. Maybe. Can't remember. But he was in a couple Superman movies, but it was New Byrne or something like that. Newman? I forget the guy's name who played Superman in the Justice League cartoon. Because I think Tim Daly was doing something else, and so they couldn't get him for Justice League.
Yeah.
But he probably would have been Superman if his schedule had been clear enough. So they had all, and Phil Lamar was there who played Green Lantern, and you know, they had all those folks there, and they read some stuff from some of the episodes and stuff like that. So
that's cool. I loved the Justice League cartoon. It's one of my favorites.
It's not as good as the Batman cartoon.
I don't know what happened there. There was some static.
Yeah, it's you can't say stuff like that when I'm the guy who edits it, so it's like, you know, it's kind of... Nice try.
All right, next.
I'll just edit you out, and then it's no problem.
Well, then we're going to lose, like, half of our two people that listen to us. Hey, Jim. So, Killing Joke.
Yes.
Some Killing Joke news. Not that it's going to be this rating, but at least it apparently is going to be allowed for Killing Joke to be an R-rated movie.
That's right, folks. You're going to possibly see Barbara Gordon's boobs. So,
oh my lordy. What is this world coming to?
It's in the book.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm kidding. It's not a big deal.
Right.
I don't even see it as being all that newsworthy. I'm just looking forward to seeing it.
Well, they tried to defuse it anyway, because apparently, you know, of course, as usual, the internet blew it all out of proportion. It's going to be rated R, and this guy's like, hey, he's like, I'm just a producer on it. I'm just saying that they said, you know, go ahead, but it's not going to get rated for like,
yeah, it's not rated R yet. So it's possible that it could be rated R. Because it is a fairly mature story.
Oh, yeah. It's a really dark story.
It's Alan Moore, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no blue dong in it, though, but...
No blue dong yet. Well, there could be.
There could be
Warner Brothers said you could have a blue dong in it.
White Joker want. Dong.
Yes.
No, but Mark Hamill's going to be in it. That's the only thing we really know about it. And...
we hope Kevin Conroy is...
Hopefully Kevin Conroy in it, and not Jason O'Mara. Who's been their new 52 Batman. I can't stand his voice. He reminded me a lot of Jeremy Sisto. Jeremy Sisto was the voice for Batman in New Frontier, and I did not like it at all.
Yeah.
New
Frontier, not my favorite.
No, the comic is awesome, but the comic was really, really good, but the actual animated movie wasn't that great.
I'd heard a lot of good stuff about the comic, so I actually bought the movie, and then I was just like,
You should have just read the comic.
Yeah, I should have read the comic.
Yeah, because Darwin Cook, he did a good job with that. Yeah, hopefully Kevin Conroy will be Batman. Jason O'Mara, I can't even. I think, who is Batman in Gods and Monsters? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I can't remember who plays him in Gods and Monsters. But it's not what's his face, O'Mara.
Hmm.
It's Jason O'Mara. It's not him. Did I say Sean O'Mara?
No.
Well, it's Jason O'Mara. Jason O'Mara was on Terra Nova, that blockbuster TV show from Fox.
Oh, who could forget that?
And he was also on the American version of Life on Mars. And then they made him Batman for New 52. And I'm like, why didn't you just make it Kevin Conroy? He should just be Batman forever.
Yes.
Until he dies.
Until he dies. And even then, we could probably splice together some audio.
You probably could. I've done 7 million episodes. I am Batman.
Moving on to the Marvel TV panels, we'll start with the show that's coming back in season 2, Daredevil.
Yes.
They showed a clip that somebody recorded out in the hallway, I think, of the trailer for Daredevil. And it's basically just a bunch of clips of season 1. But then the last sort of 30 seconds or so was a first sneak peek at season 2 of Daredevil. Really the only notable stuff from it, one, we got our first look at Elektra.
Yes.
She's putting on her red mask. And we also got a glimpse of the back of Punisher's head, which was exciting.
Yeah, he was in a hospital.
Yeah. I think you hear his voice at the end telling somebody to beg.
I thought he said bang.
Bang?
Yeah, I thought he said bang.
Oh, I thought he said beg.
Because he had a gun. And he went bang.
Mm.
I think he's a bang.
Okay. Either way, he's going to
shoot. I've watched it twice, Matt. I think I know.
Well, you're obviously an expert.
They've actually released it officially.
Yes, they have. They finally released it. And, I mean, it looks good. It got me hyped. I'm ready to see it. I'm really looking forward to The Punisher. Maybe more so Elektra. Given the fight scenes in season one, I cannot wait to see Elektra on this show.
Yeah.
Especially since the actress is apparently trained.
Yeah. I just hope we can understand what the hell she's saying. Because I saw a video from Entertainment Weekly. They did an interview with her, and I was like, wow, she got a thick accent.
Yeah. She's Greek?
No.
What is she?
Not even close. She's like Asian. And British, I think, or something like that. But her accent was like, it was really weird. Like, it was a very strange accent. I was just like, what? I couldn't. I mean, after she talked a little bit more, in the beginning, I was just like, I don't know what the hell you just said. But after she talked a little bit more, I was like, oh, okay. But
well, maybe she'll use flashcards on the show.
Maybe. That's another character in Daredevil, though.
Oh, right.
It's a girl that can't talk.
The photos look good. I like the, they held up at one point, an x-ray of a skull right before they showed the Punisher. So anyway, it was a nice tease. But the biggest thing coming out of there from Marvel TV was Jessica Jones stuff. Well, first of all, they brought the entire Defenders cast out on stage right from the beginning.
Yeah, the Defenders cast. It's three people. It's not exactly getting the whole Avengers team together.
Well, it's the whole Defenders so far, anyway.
It's Daredevil and these two people you don't even know who the hell they are.
So, Doug is poo-pooing it. But it was Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on stage together.
To be totally honest, the whole Defenders thing, to me, is kind of dumb in a way because when you look at the Defenders, none of those characters have ever been in the Defenders in the comic books. The Defenders are like Hulk, Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer. I mean, obviously they can't do Silver Surfer, but...
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be getting his rights anytime soon.
It's like, you know, if you want to do something with Hulk, there you go.
we'll talk about that in a minute. The bulk of the panel was dedicated to Jessica Jones, since that's the next show coming up. And November 20th, we got a new trailer of Jessica Jones where we get our first...
Oh, you hear the Purple
Man. You hear the Purple Man. Yeah. The first time.
Kilraven.
Yeah.
Which is David Tennant.
He sounds, I would say, sufficiently creepy.
He was not at Comic-Con.
He was not at Comic-Con. He couldn't make it. He did show up through video message, but that was it. We got our first look at Jessica Jones's face in the trailer. This is trailer number 4. They finally show her face. She had a little purple streak in her hair. It was a good trailer, I thought. It was cool to hear Tennant in his sort of villainous voice.
Because the Purple Man is somebody who he has, like, powers of suggestion. He can make people, like, he has, like, superpowers of suggestion. He can make people do anything.
Yeah.
And they obviously have a history together, so. They also finally revealed Carrie Ann Moss's character. Yes. She does indeed play a lawyer.
It is not the lawyer you wanted,
though. She is not She-Hulk.
She's not going to be She-Hulk.
She's actually playing a character that's a man in the comic books.
And I want to say the character is tied in some way to Iron Fist, I think I read.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, maybe.
There was some other Iron Fist connection in Jessica Jones, I want to say. That
Nuke!
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, they screened the entire first episode of Jessica Jones for the audience. And Collider came away with just a glowing review. They gave it 5 stars. They said it was one of the best pilots they've ever seen. They also said it was extremely dark.
That's kind of disingenuous, though, to call it a pilot. Because there is no pilot. It's just it's the first episode of 13 episodes.
All right, so call it the best first episode they've ever seen.
Okay, but I'm just saying. I mean, like, because a pilot is like, hey, hopefully we'll get this made. But, you know, they with these shows, they just went in and just said, make the show, 13 episodes, go, do it. You know,
So it's episode 1.
Right.
But it's sort of the, you know, like the first episode of Daredevil sort of felt like a pilot in a way, because it sets everything up, and then the story just sort of breathes through the rest of this, right. the series. And it sounds like that's what this episode does, where it just kind of thrusts you into the world of Jessica Jones, gives you a good overview of sort of what's going on in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they're going to do the story that Iron Man 3 tried and failed to do, which is to tackle this sort of PTSD thing with superheroes. Apparently, she's gone through something very terrible, and that has caused her to sort of quit the superhero business, and she's gone into work as a private eye.
Right.
And she's not dealing with whatever event led her to do to this very well, and she's having some PTSD. Apparently, this is how the Purple Man's going to play into it, probably going to prey on this weakness of hers.
Or he's responsible for it.
Or he could be responsible for it. They didn't go into detail about what it was, but they said it was pretty dark.
There's something in the comic book that happens that could have something to do with it, but I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, they gave it a very good, very positive review.
And I will say this. Kristen Ritter is way hotter than the way they drew her in the comic book, I'll tell you that. Because that art was interesting. It was like painted artwork almost, but like it was kind of like muddy and stuff like that. And like,
yeah.
Kristen Ritter's, she's a looker.
She's gorgeous. They also praised David Tennant.
Of course they did. The patron saint of nerds.
Right. they were going on and on about how he's this, you know, this villain on par with Wilson Fisk from Daredevil.
Here's the question. Does he turn purple?
I'm gonna go no.
Then screw you, Marvel.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be sitting in a room.
White gloves and white boots.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Good luck waiting on that. And as far as, you know, the whole thing with the sort of dark and more adult take on superheroes that the Netflix series seems to be going that way. They're talking about Daredevil Season 2 being darker than the first one. I was like, Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess with the Punisher in it, it's going to be pretty freaking dark. But the first season was not some sort of happy-go-lucky joyride.
No.
I mean, it was pretty bleak.
It's not. It's closer in vibe to the DC movies, to the Nolan and Man of Steel type stuff. It's a lot grittier and a lot darker.
More Nolan than Man of Steel.
But they just took a cue from Nolan with Man of Steel because he was one of the producers on it.
They're gonna break one trend and they're actually gonna have a superhero having sex in a movie.
Yeah, right.
I know.
I mean, Tony Stark.
Imagine that.
They imply a lot with Tony Stark.
Yeah, you see the morning after with him a lot of times. This is going to start out with a very explicit scene between her and Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Just right off the bat. So that'll be a first for Marvel and DC in general, I think. I can't think of anything DC has done.
Dark Knight Rises. Sort of.
Yeah, but they didn't really show anything there. I don't know if you count Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Maybe
that's all.
As far as superhero movies go, mainstream superhero, they generally shy away.
But Watchmen, I wouldn't consider because that's a whole different thing.
I almost don't consider that. But as far as sort of the main heroes, they never get into this.
No, of course not.
It's got to be PG-13. So this will be one of the first times they go into actual adult relationships on a show. Not quite as exciting, but apparently the character Nuke is going to show up in Jessica Jones Season 1. I knew nothing about this character, so just reading up on him a little bit, apparently he is a Vietnam vet who did not deal well with sort of the PTSD.
I wouldn't be surprised if they change him, maybe.
Yeah, they're going to change that to... Desert, you know, probably the Afghanistan War, yeah. But they injected him with some sort of serum when he got back.
Shocking.
he's got a freaking tattoo of the U.S. flag on his forehead. Yeah.
There was one story arc where he actually fought Wolverine.
Yeah?
He tussled with Wolverine a little bit.
I don't see him being that big of a character. It's probably just somebody with semi-equal powers to Jessica Jones that she can fight with.
Yeah, probably.
Because I don't know of anybody else in Hell's Kitchen right now that would be a physical match for her at all.
Luke Cage.
Yeah, well. So apparently some guy from Dexter is going to be playing him. I didn't get a name. I saw the picture of him. I didn't recognize him from Dexter. So
right.
I'm thinking walk on. And then there was a little bit about Luke Cage. Not much. There was all this.
They started filming it.
They did. They started filming it. He mentioned the timeline. It's going to pick up, not surprisingly, where Jessica Jones leaves off, basically. So they did get him to say Sweet Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah. Which was really anticlimactic because he didn't even say it with any sort of, you know, Sweet Christmas. It was sort of like, yeah, yeah, Sweet Christmas. Yeah, can we move on?
It didn't hold the level of, Ryan Reynolds actually doing the Green Lantern oath for that kid at Comic-Con, which was really cool.
That was cool. It was also way cooler than anything in the movie.
Yeah, of course it was.
So that's all the news. Now there's way more rumors that come out of Comic-Cons. Then
your Inhumans are dead, or Vin Diesel is going to be in the movie.
Yeah, they're both dead, and the movie's happening in 2019. No, so this big story came out: Marvel's canceling the Inhumans because there's a feud going on with the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That rumor lasted roughly 12 hours before Marvel came out and said, "No, we're not canceling the Inhumans. We have a movie planned. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has their storyline they're rolling with."
For now,
I cannot see them canceling a movie that they announced a year ago.
Why not? It all depends on how much work they've done to date. Yeah, it comes out 4 years from now.
I don't think that would be horrible for them to announce that a movie is coming out and then to scrap it.
They shuffle stuff around all the time.
Well, they shuffle like movies that they know are going to be made. They shuffle release dates. They don't normally cancel anything.
They keep putting up that Captain Marvel. It's getting canceled.
That is not getting canceled.
It's getting canceled.
Neither is Inhumans. yeah, there's no way this thing is getting canceled. I mean, they're setting it up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So the rumor apparently, though, was that there was some beef between TV and movie at Marvel about what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could and couldn't do with the Inhumans. You know what? I don't know. I don't see it. They're not going to... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have the budget to do what the movie Inhumans is going to be able to do.
But see, for me, that's the whole problem with it. Then they shouldn't even introduce it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. then. If you can't... Like, the Inhumans... Like, I understand the route they're going, but to me, it's kind of stupid the way they're doing it. The Inhumans are Medusa, Black Bolt, Karnak, Lockjaw. Those are the Inhumans. And if you're not going to feature any of them on that TV show, then you might as well just call these people something else entirely. That's kind of my take on it. It's just like, you know, don't give me an X-Men TV show and not, like, you know, down the road and not put Cyclops, Wolverine, you know. Oh, look, it's... That's kind of how I felt about, like, First Class. Oh, look, it's that guy and her and... Hey, that guy could sort of havoc. Like, First Class was just like, it was essentially about Magneto and Professor Xavier. But the X-Men that are actually in it, except for Banshee, I guess, and Havoc, you're just like, who gives a crap about any of these characters? You know, so it's like, you know.
Yeah, especially, oh, God. What's the guy's name?
The taxi driver?
Yeah. The guy who died.
Yeah, the taxi driver.
Yeah.
I forget his name. Exactly.
What? Yeah. and who can forget what's her face? Zoe Kravitz's.
Yeah.
Who is she?
Her name is also Angel.
What?
Yes. In the comic book, it was Angel, and she was Beak Bird Guy or whatever his name was. Or it was, she was part of Grant Morrison's run on X-Men.
Yeah.
But like, you know. In First Class, you know, when the greatest part in the whole movie is the 30 seconds that Hugh Jackman's in it, and then you're just like, yeah, the rest of the movie's garbage. Sure. Yeah, so that's like, except for Fassbender and McAvoy.
Yeah, but the Magneto Xavier stuff was the best part about that movie.
Oh yeah,
and everything else was.
But that's kind of how I feel like with, you know, Inhumans. Like none of these, except for what's her face, except for Sky, who turned into Daisy, what's her face. And she's like a minor character in the comic books. I'm sure she's front and center now, of course. But you know, they're not even introducing anybody who is anybody on that show except for Lash.
Yeah.
And is he in it yet?
I don't know if he's shown up yet. They showed a lot of pictures of him.
Yeah, but it's like, but even Lash, I had to look up who the hell he was.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, that's just kind of how I feel about it with the Inhumans. They're the Inhumans. And then it's almost like they go, wink. And that's like, they're the Inhumans. But they're not the real Inhumans that'll be in the movie. So it's like, it's kind of like a big brother, little brother thing. It's like, oh, yeah, these are the cute Inhumans. But later, you're going to have the real Inhumans. Starring Vin Diesel as Black Bolt.
Yeah. I think they'll probably do it where they'll follow this band of Inhumans on Earth. In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That'll probably wrap up at the end of the season. They'll either get rid of all the, you know, there'll only be a handful of Inhumans left.
It's also very early. It's also very early to do that if that movie's coming out 2019.
It is very early. I don't think they'll touch upon the Inhumans that are living, you know, in, the dark side of that moon. You know, I don't think they'll even hint towards them. This is probably just laying the groundwork for what Inhumans are.
I guess.
So when that movie comes out, you know, at least people will know what the term Inhumans means. But you're not going to see...
Mutants.
Yeah. you're not going to see the costumed Inhumans on Earth.
Screw you, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The worst thing that ever happened to that show was that Daredevil was made. That's the worst thing that ever happened to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because people watch Daredevil, they're like, why am I watching this crap? Just put Phil Coulson back in the movie and kill all these other characters. I don't care.
He was way better in the movies. We talked a little bit about Iron Fist. Speaking of things getting canceled, there was another rumor that came out that Iron Fist is getting scrapped. Again, I don't think that's happening. It's a long way away. It's the last...
That's the thing. It's like, because people think... Because that's the thing that we talked about a long time ago, is like, what happens with Daredevil when Daredevil's a hit? And now you're seeing what happens. You know, now they're doing... They did Daredevil... Because people are forgetting, Daredevil season one was only 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's like... You know, they did Daredevil season one, then they'll do Jessica Jones, then they'll do Daredevil season two, probably in April, probably around the same time, then Luke Cage will come out.
Yep.
Depending on if Jessica Jones is a hit or not, maybe they'll squeeze in a Jessica Jones at the end of next year, possibly, maybe. Then they'll probably do Daredevil season three, and then you'll have, and then Iron Fist will show up. You know, so it's like, he's not going to come out until 2017 at the earliest, so...
Yeah. 2018 is supposedly the scheduled date for Defenders.
And I'm not going to be surprised if they move that. I mean, unless they have some minor part to play in the Infinity War, I wouldn't be surprised if they move that either.
Yeah.
Because they're going to keep that gravy train rolling as long as they can.
Which, who can blame them?
I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, if people are really excited about Daredevil, but they don't latch on to Jessica Jones, you know, no one's going to give a crap about Defenders. They're just going to be like, give me more Daredevil. Forget those other characters. Give me Daredevil.
Yeah,
I hope that doesn't happen, but because I like Jessica Jones, she's a cool character. Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, just based on what we've heard from people that have seen the show,
But I mean, but it's the other thing with Daredevil is that he has name recognition.
He does.
I was actually reading an article that showed like all these pictures from the past. Daredevil is like one of the characters that Marvel has tried to get on TV for like the longest of any of the characters. Mm-hmm. Like back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, they tried to do a Daredevil TV show, a cartoon, and all this stuff. And they tried to put him in the Incredible Hulk TV show, and he kind of looked like he did in the beginning of Daredevil with the black mask and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, Daredevil is somebody that they've tried and tried. And then the movie was a pretty decent success at the time.
Yeah.
It's
gotten a lot of flack. Apparently the director's cut's a little bit better.
It's not a bad movie. I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, you know, Colin Farrell, while he was cool, like what he did as Bullseye was cool. He was a little hammy and over the top. Jennifer Garner was the wrong actress to play Elektra. She's hot as hell, but she was the wrong actress to play Elektra.
Yeah.
They should have gotten somebody more. She never would have done it, but more like who looked like Catherine Zeta-Jones or something like that. You know, darker. You know, more Greek.
Yeah.
You know, Jennifer Garner looks like, you know, she lives next door to you in Indiana.
Yeah.
And Michael Clark Duncan wasn't bad as the Kingpin. The problem with the Daredevil movie is that they tried to do everything that the Daredevil TV show did, basically in the first two seasons, but just cram it into one two-hour movie, and that's the problem. Yeah. It had the Dark Knight Rises problem, basically.
Yeah,
too much in too little time. And I thought Ben Affleck was fine too. I mean, I like Jon Favreau as Foggy too.
Oh God, I forgot he was Foggy.
Yeah, he was Foggy. It was. Yeah. It wasn't bad. Daredevil movies, you know, it gets a lot of crap, but it was pretty good.
Another Marvel TV show, Agent Carter, announced that they've cast Madame Mask as the villain for season 2.
Right.
That's about as far as I go on that news topic. I don't know.
Is Hayley Atwell in it? Good. That's all that matters. I need to know. That's all that matters.
I looked through that entire Madame Mask article. I didn't see a single picture of Hayley Atwell. So yes. I closed it and didn't read it anymore. So therefore, I don't know who Madame Mask is. No, I don't know. It's a cool looking character. I don't know what kind of design they're going to use on the show. The actress, Wynne Everett, is going to play her. I don't know too much about her. They said they were going for some sort of Greta Garbo look, and apparently she's got that in space. But the last big news to come out of Comic-Con was this rumor that Hulk might be joining Thor in Thor Ragnarok.
Let's take the two characters whose solo movies haven't done well at all and combine them, and maybe we'll combine their grosses.
I mean, I don't know how he figures into how you figured the story. I'm not really that worried about it. I think
is he gonna take the Quinjet to Asgard?
Yeah, that's what happened. Instead of taking a left to go fight in Civil War, he took a right and went through the Rainbow Bridge, and they ended up in Asgard.
Sure.
I don't know. They'll figure out some stupid way.
Yeah.
But I think it might be a pretty good move. Somebody was saying that I don't know if it was Collider or Heroic Hollywood One was hinting that this might be a way to get part.
It was Collider
of the Planet Hulk storyline.
Yeah.
Into the movie.
That would be a mistake.
Yeah, I don't see how that works.
That basically hijacks Thor's movie.
Yeah.
And
turns it into Planet Hulk.
That would be a mistake.
Yeah, they should not do that. I mean, especially with a movie called Thor Ragnarok.
Right, exactly.
Ragnarok should be... he's not going to do it Planet Hulk.
I don't think the Hulk's going to be.
I don't know. It would be cool.
Yeah, Hulk should be in? The Defenders on Netflix. That's what...
They'll blow all their budget on that.
Hey, Bruce Banner, go give your cousin some of your blood because I'd like to see She-Hulk on Netflix next year. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Maybe he'll leave some in the Quinjet when he goes to Asgard.
He'll leave some Hulk crap in the Quinjet.
Right.
Where does the Hulk take a crap? I mean, you know, he's flying in that thing and you know, he flew the for hours and hours and hours.
He's got a Porta Hulk.
Sure.
On board. You don't know. You don't work for S.H.I.E.L.D. Tom Hiddleston might, you know, if...
Another non-story.
if Hulk shows up in Ragnarok, maybe we could get a Hulk versus Loki round 2. That would be nice. But as for Hiddleston himself, he went on to describe this week the scene that was cut from Age of Ultron. There's a lot of... there was a bunch of news stories coming out whenever that movie was filming that he had been spotted on set, and he admitted that he had filmed something. So then the movie comes out and Loki is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. They cut his scene because they were afraid that the audience was going to think that he was behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
They cut it.
Test audiences, came back and were confused because they thought that he was the one responsible for Ultron.
Because people are dumb.
People are dumb. So they cut his scene from the movie. So he was supposed to be in Thor's dream sequence.
Right.
Along with Heimdall. And
he's making out with Natalie Portman.
I wonder, though.
And Thor goes, no!
At the beginning of the dream sequence, you see somebody walking in, and he's got a hood over him.
Uh-huh. Maybe it was Loki.
That was probably Loki. Because you don't see that hooded figure anywhere.
It was probably Natalie's
Portman. It was Jane Foster.
Natalie's Portman.
Yeah. But Hiddleston has also said that he has not spoken to Marvel in a couple years, apparently.
Yeah, guess what?
Yeah.
They'll call you next week because Thor probably starts shooting, you know, in 6 months. Relax, Loki.
Yeah.
One more piece of Marvel news.
Yes.
Before we get to your big note there. For those of you who listen to the Hodgepodge podcast, you know that Matt and I are big fans of Red Letter Media and Plinkett, Mr. Plinkett, as we've talked about them on our Star Wars podcast. Dirty A has never listened to them or watched them. Red Letter Media released possibly the funniest video of the month.
Oh my God.
Where they took all of Ultron scenes in Age of Ultron, and it also shows you how little he's in that movie.
Yeah.
But they took all his scenes from Age of Ultron basically and dubbed over James Spader's dialogue as Robert California from The Office, and it is hilarious. And it just shows you how nonsensical Ultron was to begin with anyway in that movie. Because, like, the reactions fit perfectly with all the dialogue they put in from Robert California to whatever Ultron was saying in the movie. It is hilarious. The best part is the vision part. The vision. He's making faces like,
oh, oh, oh. He's trying to get a word in, and Ultron won't shut up.
I sold the house. The 1% is hurting two people. So if you do yourself a favor and go to redlettermedia.com and watch Ultron California, it is freaking hilarious. It was so good. And it also showed that Ultron was basically just Jane Spader playing Jane Spader, basically. with an echo on a digitized echo on his voice. Good job.
Staying in the Marvel news then, the Marvel movie news, that is, they announced Ant-Man's sequel will be coming out in...
And this is what led to the Inhumans rumor.
Yes. This came out, right around the time of the Inhumans
rumor. No, this came out first, and then people were like, oh, well... Nobody's talking about that. Are they going to cancel Inhumans because they did this to fill a hole in the schedule and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. So they announced that Ant-Man 2 is coming out. And the title is going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Because the first Ant-Man movie should have just been called The Wasp.
The Wasp. They should do like they did with the Live, Die, Repeat thing. And change the name on the DVD, basically. This is a new movie. It's now called The Wasp. And just put Evangeline Lilly on the cover, and it'll sell a billion copies.
That's a fast.
Yeah. You don't know. There's a big contingency of people that like Evangeline Lilly.
She hasn't had a big career since The Wasp.
Well, now she has her chance, because she's going to be front and center in this movie. And I cannot wait. I want to see The Wasp badly. And first scene is her having sex. With Ant-Man.
With Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
That comes out summer of 2018.
Yeah.
So.
They had to shuffle some things around.
Of course they did. And guess who got shuffled around?
Captain
Marvel. The black guy and the woman. That's what got shuffled around.
Well, Black Panther got moved up.
Oh, sure. Now we're going
to
have. Now we're going to shortchange the black guy on his prep time for the movie. Way to go, Marvel.
What are you talking about? All right. No, Black Panther's coming out now in March.
February.
That's what I said. Of 20... whatever. 18?
Yeah. February 2018. Yeah. February. Yeah. Real subtle, Marvel. Real subtle.
Right. So anyway, we're going to get to see him sooner. But... The negative is, of course, that Captain Marvel gets moved yet again.
So that means we're not going to find out that Emily Blunt's playing Captain Marvel for another 6 months.
Yeah, at least. They also
announced... Because that's a done deal, people, for sure, I'm positive. I don't know who she is. Whatever.
Three more sequels were announced. Or not sequels, but three movies for 2020.
Brother Voodoo!
It'll be Brother Voodoo.
Rom Space Knight and...
Yeah. So, they won't say what it is.
Because they're waiting to see how well Thor does at the box office.
No, I think they're waiting to see how well Spidey does. I think one of those has to be Spider-Man 2. Sequel.
Does that count? Because it's Sony still, though.
They're counting it as Marvel movies now. Because they put it on the schedule for Marvel's things. It's 3 years after the first Spider-Man movie. It fits schedule-wise.
I know, but because it's Sony, it's like, I don't...
Well, that's what I'm saying. They list the Spider-Man movie in their slate of Phase 3 movies now.
Really?
So, I think they're counting it. That's my... I think one of them has to be Spider-Man 2.
The other one's Sinister Six, and then the other one's Black Cat. Enjoy! Yeah. The other one's Aunt May. Aunt May has a hot, wet summer.
You laugh, but you would go see it.
Yeah, for Marissa Tomei's in it, yeah.
No, I think the other movie is going to be Cap 4, Civiler War.
Yeah, maybe.
No, actually, I don't. I I think it'll be a new character. They're going to have Spider-Man 2. I think we'll get a new character, and then I think we'll get one more sequel to something.
What they should do is they should do the
Doctor Strange 2, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Doctor Strange is a movie. It's like I want to see it, but at the same time, I'm not really excited about it.
Oh, I am.
I'm just like,
well, I want to see what Derrickson does with it.
I've never been a big Doctor Strange fan. But
he's one of those directors that I think has gotten really into the characters, mm-hmm. which is why I think it will be a good movie. It's not going to be like another Alan Taylor situation. I mean, this guy likes that whole world. I mean, right. he's been posting all these pictures of old Doctor Strange comics. He's really getting into the whole psychedelic thing.
I think it's good. Cool. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good. It's just, yeah. I'm just not a big Doctor Strange guy. Maybe they'll give us the movie that they fake gave us when they announced Phase 3. It'll be Captain America, Serpent Society.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that movie got cheers whenever he announced it.
When they did, I was like, oh man, that's awesome. Because I thought Civil War came too early. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just go ahead and get to that now?
Why don't we just talk about that now then? I said.
Let's move on to the topic of the week, which is going to be Marvel's...
Oh, Benicio Del Toro is going to be back in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yay!
Oh, we didn't talk about the X-Men either.
Oh, okay. What do we got on X-Men?
X-Men Apocalypse plot synopsis was released.
Mystique that's right.
is going to be leading the X-Men, which makes no freaking sense at all.
No.
It also implies that they're never going to reveal what happened at the end of Days of Future Past with Mystique fishing Wolverine out of the water.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me when the movie came out.
It made sense to me because if they're going based on the cartoon... Mystique worked for Apocalypse in the cartoon.
Well, so that's...
That would have worked.
Yeah, well, that's clearly not the case anymore.
No, it's not, because Hugh Jackman is still nowhere to be seen in any of the stuff, but we still haven't gotten a trailer yet.
No.
That would be the perfect end to a trailer.
In which, when are we going to get that trailer? I mean, Singer said something like...
He's joking.
He's an idiot. He said six months.
6 months puts it as at the month before the movie comes out. There'll probably be an X-Men trailer... What is it, May?
Yeah.
I'm
thinking
November.
It's either later than November, I would think. Well, maybe for Hunger Games. One of them, either Batman versus Superman or X-Men is or Civil War. We should be getting a Civil War trailer sometime soon.
Because the problem is the Disney movie that's coming out next is The Good Dinosaur, and I think it's going to be G. Yeah. So it's like there's you're not putting any superhero movie trailer on that movie.
No. So the next few big movies are, we got Spectre coming out.
Hunger Games.
And then Star Wars.
Oh, is that what it
is? Star something?
I thought it was Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. I think it's Buck Rogers.
They resurrected Lorne Greene. He's in it. It's awesome.
It's Galaxy Quest 2.
He plays Han Solo.
So there's one of those three movies, you're going to have the highest profile. So... You know, expect to see these trailers at least.
They're still fixing Apocalypse's look.
They have to recolor all the scenes.
They have to animate all this crap around his face so he looks normal, like normal Apocalypse.
Yeah, and not Ivan Ooze.
Still no word on whether Hugh Jackman's in it or not. I think he's going to have at least a small part in it.
Yeah.
Bryan Singer was too coy about it at San Diego Comic-Con for him not to be in it. Yeah. And,
I mean, we hold out hope that he will actually be either War or Death.
And the Wolverine movie might get delayed, too.
Yeah, he was kind of hinting that might happen.
That might happen. He's like, they're still writing it.
He's like, we want to make sure it's perfect before we do anything.
He also said that about the Wolverine. So, let's talk about Civil War.
Captain America 3, Civil War.
Serpent Society. God, I wish.
Yeah. So what do we think is going to happen in this movie? The comics started out with the
Stamford incident.
The Stamford, Connecticut incident, where there was some reality show that showed these young superheroes.
With Speedball.
Speedball taking front.
God, I hope he's in this. Loser character he is.
So it follows these young superheroes going after villains. And... one of the villains that they happen upon is, I think his name was Nuke or something.
Was it?
Anyway, his power was that he could basically set himself off. And they didn't realize what they were getting into.
Right.
And they went to fight this guy.
Wait, he can set himself off? When did that book come out?
Civil War?
Yeah. like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
That was before Heroes, right?
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I know where you're going
with Heroes that. Is like, my friend and I were just talking about that the other day, because he's like, are you watching the new Heroes? I'm like, no, I don't even have cable. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, it's terrible. He's like, everything is really good about it, except for the writing. He's like, the writing is just god-awful terrible in the dialogue. He's like, we used to say all the time. I'm like, yeah, I used to say about Heroes. I don't watch Heroes because I've already read X-Men.
Yeah.
So it's funny that that's that guy, because that was that guy in the in Heroes.
Yeah, so they come across this supervillain, and they start, you know, they start this fight. They don't know what they're getting into, and he sets himself off and blows the entire city to smithereens.
Was it the city or just a school? I thought it was a school.
No, it was huge. I mean, it basically destroyed.
If it was a school, they would have talked about gun control.
It would have. So instead they talk about nuclear arms control.
Way to go, America.
Yeah, nice job. So you have just thousands of people dead.
Right.
And coming out of that, this Superhero Registration Act is proposed.
Yeah.
We've seen this before.
Yeah.
Proposed in Congress, and to a lot of people's surprise, Tony Stark is one of the people that immediately backs it.
Right.
And
which makes sense. Because he is...
an arms dealer.
No, not because of that, because... he's normal. He's a normal human being. All he does is wear the suit. So yeah. It's like, you know.
And the Superhero Registration Act basically said that all superheroes essentially need to work for the government. They need to register. Mm-hmm. They need to know their real identities. They need to know their power sets.
It goes back to the Mutant Registration Act of the 80s that Chris Claremont put into the X-Men.
It's pretty much the same thing.
And what happened back then in the 80s, which was awesome, if you go back and read the old comic books, you'll find like these fake ads in it. Where it says, do you know what your children... It's 1987, do you know what your children are? Or 1986, because that was right before the Mutant Massacre. And they're like, do you know what your children are? And then they have, like, pictures of normal kids, and then they have a picture of Franklin Richards, and right across in red ink it says, Mutie! I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. That's when the X-Men were, like, dark and awesome.
Yeah.
Now everything is sucks.
It's a, you know, it's a cool concept. So it was a little bit surprising to me anyway that Tony Stark would...
It works better for the X-Men because that's more echoes of, like, you know, the Holocaust and stuff like that. And, like, it was basically paving the way to Days of Future Past, where they would put them in the camps and shit like that.
Yeah.
The superhero one is a little bit different, but it's similar.
It also felt at the time like it was a little bit inspired by 9/11. So the Patriot Act kind of thing. You know, a lot of people were against the Patriot Act at the time. And so Tony Stark was immediately set up to be sort of the villain of the series because he is backing this Patriot Act-like piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. And so right off the bat, they're saying, you know, we got to round up the superheroes. We got to know who their secret identities are. And so one of the panels that they cut to is Cap on the helicarrier, mm-hmm. I want to say.
Right.
And Maria Hill's up there. He's come back from a mission, and she tells him, you know, I think it's like she's telling him he has to go out and help them round up these superheroes and mm-hmm. find out their identities. And he refuses.
Right.
And she immediately tells everybody to, like, you know, take aim at Captain America. And he's like, you don't want to do this. And, you know, and then they, like, open fire with these tranquilizer guns, basically. Yeah. And he beats the shit out of everybody. Jumps out of the helicarrier, commandeers a jet that's like flying.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
They already, and that's, yeah, that's what we're going to get to in a second.
Yeah. So he becomes the face of the resistance.
Right.
And this is, it looks like they're echoing this in the movie. A lot of people that were on his side in the beginning, he did not have the most powerful people.
No, God, no.
On his side.
No.
Like Tony Stark had Mr. Fantastic.
He had Sentry.
He had Hank Pym. He was Yellow Jacket, I want to say, at that time.
He's a white beard.
Right. He just had a lot of powerful superheroes on his side. And Captain America had Daredevil. He had Luke Cage. At one point, Punisher tried to join the team. Cap was not, I don't think, a huge fan. Somebody was really against Punisher joining the team. I forget who it was. But they were using these sort of guerrilla tactics, and they managed to survive for a while and even sort of defeat Tony and the superheroes. So then Wolverine was with Cap. And sort of in the middle of all this was Spider-Man. Spider-Man initially was under Tony Stark's wing. Stark built him a new suit.
That ugly suit.
The Iron Spider suit. So yeah. Ugly. And he's sort of mentoring Peter Parker, and he gets him, and this was a huge moment in the Civil War storyline, he gets him to go out on a press conference and reveal his secret identity
right
to the world. Peter Parker has kept his identity secret from the beginning, since mm-hmm. the 60s in the comics. Mm-hmm. So this was huge. He's standing in front of, you know, a microphone with hundreds of press people, and he takes off his mask. He says, "I'm Peter Parker."
It was soon retconned.
Yes. Yeah, I don't really want to talk about that.
Really? You don't want to have just one more day to talk about it?
Shut up.
One more day. The storyline that made the Clone Saga palatable. Good job, Marvel.
So then, you know, they're having these superhero fights. And one of the coolest moments, I thought, was when they sort of fought to a draw at one point.
Right.
And Tony's talking to Cap. And Cap seems like he's sort of giving up. Right. And Tony extends a hand, Cap goes to shake it, and he's carrying some sort of, like, mini EMP in his hand when he shakes, you know, Tony's hand. And it short-circuits Tony's suit, he beats the crap out of Tony, and they end up winning that fight.
Cap fights dirty.
Yeah, Cap, you know what? I did not like the Captain America character at all prior to Civil War. Reading that series made me like Steve Rogers.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I thought he was just too goody two shoes before that. Mm-hmm. Granted, I hadn't read a ton of his stories, but everything I'd seen, I was like,
well, see, Captain America already kind of went this way before. Like that's why, like, the Civil War, everyone's like, Civil War, and the only thing that makes it interesting is that they paint Iron Man as the villain, because yeah. Captain America, he's already quit the government before. Several times. Like, he went and became the captain for a while, where he wore black, red, and white. And they got some other scab Captain America to come in, and I think Steve Rogers had to come back and defeat him because he went crazy or something like that. But, you know, he's always... Steve Rogers has always been about, like... And they've done this in the Captain America movies. He's always been about, like, I don't work for the government. I work for the idea of America, basically. Yeah. And the thing you were talking about with, you know, the helicarrier and all that stuff, like, he getting, I mean, that's all in Winter Soldier. I mean, that's that whole scene is in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this, because I was reading an article. This is an article from like a year ago or something like that, from, I forget what site it was on, but they were talking about, like, these are the things that have to happen in Civil War. And, like, it's all this stuff. And, you know, and right after Civil War was, hey, spoiler alert, right after Civil War was the death of Captain America.
Yeah.
He got better, folks.
Yeah.
But it was the death of Captain America. And a lot of people were like, oh, that's going to happen. They're going to kill Chris Evans. This is going to happen. And that's going to happen. And if the Marvel movies, and Collider said this too about the Thor Hulk thing, if the Marvel movies have proven anything to you, it's that don't count on the comic books to tell you anything about these movies.
No.
Weekend of Ultron was a fairly recent storyline in the comics.
They just borrowed the title.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. But it has nothing to do with what happens in the movie, and the movie has nothing to do with the comic book.
Yeah.
I think that's the one where he had, like, the six eyes or something like that. Like, yes. Like he goes through all these, like, permutations like that. But it was, like, not, had nothing to do, they're completely unrelated. I'm not going to be surprised if they do something like House of M or something like that and call it something else.
Yeah.
But House of I.
Yeah. House of, yeah.
No More Inhumans. And, yeah, so basically, if you read the comics and you think you know what's going to happen in Civil War, the odds are pretty good that you don't know anything, because yeah. It's not, because what's going to happen, what I think is going to happen, and we talked about this before we did the podcast, is that they're obviously going to have Iron Man and Captain America fight.
Yes.
But my theory is the ending to Civil War is not going to be as dark as people think it's going to be. I think that Captain America and Iron Man might be all right by the end of it.
Yeah.
And because what's going to happen is, the one thing that the movie has, according to all the actors that are in it, and they've been blabbing their mouths about it, Elizabeth Olsen,
yeah.
The one thing that the movie has that the comic did not have is there's actually a villain at the center of it.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's Baron Zemo, who's played by Daniel Brühl.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, at the center of this. Whereas in the comic, there was no villain at all. And Red Skull played a role in Captain America's death, but that he didn't have anything to do with, like, orchestrating the Civil War or anything like that.
Mm.
No,
Tony was the villain.
Right. Right. And so, I don't think they have the balls, for lack of a better phrase, to turn Robert Downey Jr. into the total villain in this movie. So, there will be conflict, clearly, but, because there's always been conflict in the Avengers movies. They all hate each other, basically, which is how the Avengers go. But, I think what's going to happen in the end is they'll fight, punchy, and they'll look over and they'll say, hey... What about that guy in the purple mask? Let's get him. Yay!
Why is he wringing his hands
and twirling and laughing. And twirling his mustache?
Yeah, you're right. It's not going to be a one-on-one translation.
Because they don't have half the characters.
You're not going to put
Frank Castle in this when he's just going to be debuting in Daredevil.
No. And you won't see Daredevil in this. They've pretty much announced the cast. You pretty much know who's going to be in this movie. You're not going to get the 60 people on Cap's side versus the 60 people on Iron Man's side. Right. It's going to be probably 6-on-6 at most.
Yeah, it's just the Avengers.
Yeah, it's
and the whole Spider-Man thing. Like they kept on talking about, like, oh, we need to get Spider-Man. They're not going to have Spider-Man reveal his identity because nobody even knows who the hell he is.
Yeah.
It's not like in the comic book where Spider-Man's been around in New York forever and everybody's, Spider-Man. And they're like, oh, it's Spider-Man. You know, so it's like, and plus, everybody already knows who Spider-Man is. Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield took off their masks every opportunity they had. A good
90% of the time.
Tobey Maguire more so than Andrew Garfield.
There are some moments that I would love to see in the movie that I don't think I'm going to see. But one that might be in the movie is that, I mentioned that fight between Cap and Tony where Cap finally gets the better of him.
Right.
He starts fighting a little dirty. Iron Man then starts fighting very dirty. He puts together the Thunderbolts.
Right.
To go hunt down heroes.
Right.
So,
and that's a new iteration of that team.
Yes. But we know that
Venom's on it.
Yeah, Venom and Hobgoblin.
It wasn't like Wolverine's son in that too.
Oh God, was he?
Dakin, I think.
I don't remember him being in it. I remember Hobgoblin was in it. Venom, just a bunch of villains, basically.
Bullseye. Bullseye was in it too, I think, yeah.
But we know that General Ross is going to be in this movie.
Mm.
So I'm wondering if when things start going against Tony, if he turns to General Ross and what do you got for me? And he's putting together, it's almost like a Suicide Squad-esque type of thing.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say Suicide Squad.
Where he puts together a bunch of villains and offers them something to go after these heroes, which that's possible.
That'd be cool.
They would love to do. That would be cool.
In that case, I could see them getting Baron Zemo then, and then Baron Zemo turns it on them, and then he becomes the villain. Almost like in X-Men 2, when they go to get Magneto, and then Magneto goes, twist, and then he becomes the villain at the end of it. And you thought it was Brian Cox all along!
You did! He was a good guy! No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
A good guy.
But one scene I know we're not going to see, again, spoiler alert for the Civil War comics.
They've been out for 10 years.
Yeah. When Cap dies at the end, after he gives himself up, he finally realizes that, even though he still believes in the ideals that he was fighting for, he realizes that a lot of the things he's done was very un-Captain America. Like, it was, he went against some of his own sort of beliefs.
Right.
To try to win this war. And so he turns himself in.
Right.
He says this is the right thing to do, and while he is being marched towards the courthouse or whatever, he gets shot. And there's a really, really good scene where Cap's body is laying in the hospital, and the only one in the room with him is Tony. And there's this speech that Tony gives about how when he goes through the entire Civil War, he's like, when this started, I thought I was in the right, all this stuff, and he just ends with this great line. He said, it wasn't worth it.
Right.
And it's just a really sad, sort of gut-wrenching scene.
They could do something like that, but I don't think they'll kill Chris Evans.
I don't think they will. But
they could do something like that, where something happens to him, and he's like, oh, I love you, Cap.
Yeah.
Then they start making out.
And then he wakes up and he's like, I'm alive.
And then Bucky walks in and he goes, I'm jealous now. And Scarlett Johansson says, is anyone going to have sex with me?
Yeah, anyone? Anyone at all? Can any of you see?
I wanted the Hulk to screw me in half, but he wouldn't go for it. So, anybody?
Anyone? Anyone? Vision? Anyone?
Ant-Man, you want to climb up in there?
Yeah.
God. this show just got blue.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Peter Parker probably not going to play the same part that he did in the Civil War storyline. I think that will go more towards...
He's just a kid. Leave Spider-Man alone.
Black Panther or Bucky. One of those two could do the switching sides thing. I would lean towards Black Panther. Because he's already in the stuff that they've released. He's already on Team Iron Man. But as we know, Wakanda is historically the Switzerland of the Marvel Universe. He could switch sides. I think he doesn't know any of these people.
Right.
He might initially side with Iron Man. I think he will eventually sort of gravitate towards Cap. But they've sort of hinted at Black Widow, Hawkeye fighting. I'm guessing we'll probably get Vision versus Scarlet Witch. They said there's a lot of 2-on-2 fights in this movie. And we know that Spider-Man at some point will face off against Captain America. They said that was one scene that they had shot, so that would be kind of cool. Because that would be Cap's introduction to Spider-Man. You've probably never heard of him at this point.
Break his jaw.
Welcome to the Marvel
Stay
Universe.
Stay down, son.
Yeah.
That's my favorite line in all the Marvel movies. Hey, you guys just can't care about it. Son, just don't.
Just don't.
Love Chris Evans. He's the best. Son, just don't.
On your left. So yeah, I'm trying to think of some other Civil War comic scenes that could show up in the movie. There aren't a lot. I mean, we're not going to see Clone Thor, I don't think.
Probably not.
That was where Reed Richards used some of Thor's DNA to create a clone that they then sent after Captain America. Yeah, I forgot what it was. I don't even want to guess. And then Thor came back and was super, super pissed off that they had done this. And then beats the shit out of Tony. It was great. One of the best lines ever from Thor then, too. He's like, when he's telling Tony about the difference between a god and a man in a suit of armor or something like that. Man, it was great. So they can't use any of that stuff. It'll be a smaller, pared-down version of Civil War. They got to fit it in two and a half hours,
right,
for God's sake. So we're going to get heroes versus heroes. We're going to get a little bit of a wrap-up to the Winter Soldier storyline that they hinted at the end of Cap 2. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Black Widow as Black Widow again, as we discussed last week.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking forward to more Scarlet Witch.
I know.
Because I'm a male. Anything else from you for this movie?
I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman.
Okay.
That'll do it.
I think that'll do it for episode...
Six.
Six. God. Already?
Yes. And thanks for listening, folk. We'll see you next time.
See you later.